Blog Talk Radio.
Class X Radio, the new breed of rock, and LaSalle Broadcasting Network bring you LaSalle High School Baseball. And this is the La Rosa's Pizza Inside Pitch with your hosts, Barrett Cohen, Andy Poley, and special network intern, Sam Ross.
He cannot put these Lancer hitters away when he gets two strikes on them. And they're getting numerous two-out base hits here. Put them now up ahead 6-2.
Now live on the broadcast, we thank you for joining in.
Thank you for coming back. My God.
Most talking you've ever done.
My God.
Matt Brownie will come to the plate.
That's the most talking I've ever done, but I went and told him to shut up.
Beautiful part, nobody was listening. 6-2. Brownie, the shortstop. He'll flip it over to second. That'll end the inning for the Bowler Crew for the LaSalle Lancers. But the Lancers play two more. And now lead in four. At the end of four. 6-2 over the Molar Crusaders. You're listening to WLSN on the LaSalle Broadcasting Network as we emanate live here from Lancer Field. And LaSalle just doing the little things right, Andy.
The two out hits. And I mentioned earlier, we talked about earlier how many strikeouts that Bennett has this year. I believe it's 28 and 23 innings, so he has a power pitcher. He has zero strikeouts today, Barrett. Zero. So LaSalle's doing a great job working the counts and putting the ball in play. They've had a couple fortuitous bounces, which has helped them extend a couple innings. But seems like time after time, when they get behind in the count, they're putting good swings on the ball. And the last thing alone, Mike Allen got a big hit knocked in that run. That's a big – anytime you score two runs, so runs with two outs, those are like double. Those hurt. Those win ball – two out runs win ball games.
So LaSalle leads now 6-2 here in the fifth inning. Still on the mound for the Lancers is Jacob Kaiser. Kaiser still on the mound for LaSalle, and a guy that can really do a long distance. See how that sounds. At the plate for the Boulder Crusaders, leading off here in the top of the fifth inning will be number 20, Tyler McDonough, the second baseman. McDonough, earlier in this game, put out, ground out to the second baseman, and he also doubled. So this will be his third appearance against the very talented Jacob Kaiser, a young man who can get it done. And the pitch is just on the outside, a ball. And it'll even up to count one ball and one strike.
Yeah, McDonald had the one-out double to start the third for the Crusaders.
There's a ground ball. That'll be hit to the second baseman with the pickup to flip to first. And that'll be out number one. Nice job there by the second baseman for the Lancers, if you're scoring at home or home alone, Tim Casey.
You call that an elder hop still over here?
Yeah. No comment. You tried to bait me in, but I know your son may be listening.
He better be in class. He's got a 2 o'clock class today. Well, he might be getting out by now. He better be in class.
So Kaiser will come plateward, and that pitch will be taken up high for a ball to Sebastian. We got to figure out how to say his last name.
I would think it's Fabik, F-A-B-I-K. I think it's Fabik.
Great job to Alex Harmeyer, Mike Nye getting us on the air. We had a little bit of a delay there. Four innings.
He's got two hits today.
Yeah, he sure does. Sebastian Fabik, a base hit, single in the first inning. Follow that up with another one in the second, as Jacob Kaiser will try to complete this riddle that he's provided so far, the stretch of the pitch, and that will be just outside chest level, a ball. You know, anymore, he really kind of hard to tell what the strike zone is. As John Hamburg will go head back out to the mound to have a discussion with Jacob Kaiser, but really depends on who's up in the game.
Every day is different. When I was coaching, that's one of the things I'd always check before the game, who our umpires were, and I knew who had the big zones, who had the low zones, who had the high zones. And a lot of that came into play, especially late in the season, on who you were going to throw that day if you had the luxury to move guys around in the rotation.
Pitches up high, a ball, and he has quick work, albeit in the negative fashion, to Fabico, will go to first base, and that'll be bring the big Hayden Bianchini, the designated hitter, to the plate. Hayden earlier already got a single in the first inning, then followed that up with a base on balls in the third, and you got to wonder, there were a lot of pitches thrown by the senior Jacob Kaiser in this baseball game, and Nick Bennett on the other side. It'll be interesting to see how long both these guys go in this ball game. What with us in the fifth inning here from Lancer Field, LaSalle leads 6-2. South put two in the plate. Moeller came back and put their own two, but LaSalle's run off four ever since, and now with a 6-2 lead. There's an off-speed pitch on the outside taken by Bianchini. One ball, no strikes. Runner on first, one out for the Crusaders.
Yeah, Bianchini, is much like Christian Ball, is not built for speed, but he does have power.
There's a pitch just below the knees. A nice pitch, but a ball as Kaiser a little dejected after that call. Thought he might have slid it in there, Anthony. He's two balls, no strikes.
And Bianchini has two home runs for the season, so he's got pop in his bat.
And there's another one. And no activity yet in that Lancer bullpen as Sam McConnell now comes up out of his seated position. In fact, he go to the mound. He's looking perhaps after this pitch. Three balls and no strikes. And ball four as he can't even get it up there in the dirt. And Sam McConnell will head to the mound as the bullpen will now get active. Quentin Baldwin will get up for the LaSalle Lancers in the bullpen as Sam McConnell will take it to the mound. So, Alex, congratulations. Great job getting this on. We're running a different operation because if you got your mic on there, we'll talk to you for a second. It's a little bit different when we do a non-Class X broadcast. You have to – it's a whole different setup. Of course, I didn't know that, but Pedro, of course, filling us in and able to get us on the air here for what we hope will be a Lancer win.
Absolutely. A little bit of technical difficulties to start us off for today. But it looks like we got everything back on track. Had to take apart a little bit of wiring here and there, but looks like we're now sounding good.
Now you got to find out how to put it all back.
That's right. Now I got to figure out where I put everything.
Could you come program my computer at my house when you get done today, Alex? I'd appreciate it.
Kyle Butts will now come to the plate for the Lancers. Butts, what, 1-for-2 on the day, 2 ribeye steaks. And he's trying to do some damage for the Lancers here as well as Kaiser will look plateward. Sam McConnell did some quick work on the mound back in the dugout, and here comes the pitch, and that's taken outside a ball. And that Moeller dugout starting to come to life as they find themselves down the barrel of a four-run deficit here in the fifth inning late here at a sun-splashed Lancer field. Kaiser coming plateward, and that will be low in the dirt. And ball two, and what, he's had seven,
ten
straight balls. Doing his impression of a starting Cincinnati Reds pitcher. Kaiser, quick look to second, comes forward,
there
and there's one right down Broadway, two balls and one strike.
Sometimes it all takes. Every pitcher hits a little blip like this every ball game, and hopefully he gets back on track. He's only behind two balls and one strike.
Pitch, there's a fly ball right field. Actually, the center fielder will come over and make the catch. The runners will not advance. Over there to cut it off in center field was Andrew Sexton. He'll get it in the infield with two outs and a runner on first and second. It'll be up to the big Christian Bolt, the first baseman, who's about a hamburger under, what, 250?
He's a big dude. His dad's a big fella and his brother's a big fella, so runs in the family.
You don't want to put one right around the wheelhouse with this guy.
He just missed taking one out of here in a second. He won't hop the fence on left center.
There's a rocket.
Deep left field.
That one's off. It's gone. And it's over the left field fence, and that's a three-run jack for Moeller, and they will cut the lead to one. We just talked about it. Christian Bolt nearly missed one in the first inning, and he puts one over the fence and left, and it is a one-run game, 6-5 LaSalle.
I mentioned earlier, Barrett, when he was younger, when Christian was 9, he was playing with his brother Mitchell, who was 11. And he was equally as well as all the hitters of that age. So he's always been able to hit a baseball. From the time I've known him since he was 9, obviously till today. He just missed one in the third. I'm sorry, in the second. And then that one right down the left field line. Three-run homer for the Lancers, or the Crusaders, putting him right back in his ballgame.
Well, we talked about it. I mean, Jacob Kaiser really struggling to throw strikes, and he was just trying to get it over the plate, and unfortunately he did, over the plate.
He was behind everyone this entire inning, and I think he had a mindset to get ahead of Christian Bolt at that bat, and Christian was having none of it. First good pitch he saw, he lit it up, and it was just a matter of if that was fair or foul, and it was fair down the left field line, and it went into the trees just underneath the scoreboard.
And Baldwin looks like he is done in the bullpen. He's back in the dugout, so it looks like he is ready to go, and I got to believe this might be, no matter the scenario here with two outs, this might be his last batter of the day.
I think if he gets on, it probably will be.
Kaiser comes plateward, and there's a rocket to shortstop. Nice field. Throw to first, and Sexton did a nice job picking up that short hop, that elder hop, and over to first to end the inning. But three runs score on a three-run bomb by Christian Bolt. and it'll cut the lead. LaSalle 6 and the Molar Crusaders 5. You're listening to the best coverage of high school sports in Cincinnati. It's WLSN and the LaSalle Broadcasting Network. Elder on my mind. I got an Elder guy next to me here, back here at Lancer Field, as the Lancers lead the Molar Crusaders 6-5 going into the bottom of the fifth, and it would be incumbent, I would think, of this Lancer baseball team to put some more on, and they're going to start with Griffin Merritt, the number 5 hitter and the first baseman for this Lancer baseball team. I mean, this is what you expect. You get a game going, you know, late in the season. Both these teams have been through the gauntlet, of course, in their schedule. Of course, LaSalle with a big win over Springboro. Springboro, one of the top teams in the state. Talked to Coach Vogley before the game. He thought they were easily a top 10 team in the state. So a big win for LaSalle against Springboro. But the beautiful thing about this sport, Andy, I mean, it changes from game in and game out. I mean, you might beat Molar by 10, as LaSalle did, and then they come back and they drop one to St. X. So it's...
Yeah.
As you said, any given game is a off-speed pitch drops in for a called strike, and a nice pitch by Bennett to get ahead 0-1 to Griffin Merritt.
Griffin had a big double in the last inning. He knocked in 2 runs on a 2-strike pitch his last at-bat.
Bennett comes forward to the pitch, a fastball in the dirt, 1-1.
And Griffin grounded out the second in the first inning. In the third, he hit that big double down the right field line, knocking in Brady Reynolds and Micah Allen, played in the third and fourth runs for the Lancers.
There's a strike, swing and a miss by Griffin Merritt. LaSalle, 6 runs, 7 hits, and no errors. Molar, 5 runs, 8 hits, and count this, 4 errors for the Crusaders. The pitch, strike 3 on an inside fastball, and a great pitch. Griffin didn't like it, but a nice pitch by Nick Bennett, and that'll retire with bat in hand Griffin Merritt, and now John Hambrick will come to the line, come to the plate for the Lancers. Down 1 out.
I just mentioned last inning he had no strikeouts, and he right on cue comes out and strikes out the leadoff hitter here in the fifth for the Lancers.
And the pitch is off speed on the outside corner, taking a cold strike.
Looks like Bennett's got a little more hop in his step now, Barrett. He's moving around a little bit out there.
And that one right down Broadway, and quickly 0-2. He's making quick work of the Lancers, at least early on in this inning.
Hamburg grounded out to the pitcher in the first inning and then popped up to the first baseman later in the next
strike inning. Strike 3 pitches. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night as Hamburg will come back. 2 outs, and now Tyler Wardwell will attempt to stop the bleeding.
Back-to-back strikeout lookings for Bennett. That's for the Crusaders. That's a good sign for the Crusaders that looks like he's back on his game. You can see he's got a little more hop in his step. He's right back on the mound. Even now, he's ready to go. He's waiting for Wardwell to get in the box. He's ready to go.
That's good. I mean, that's what a veteran-type leadership position in Tyler Wardwell, the Duke commit, will do. Step out of the plate. Maybe take that first pitch, which he does, which is up outside, a ball. 1-0.
Wardwell hit an infield single in the second inning and then grounded out to third on a nice backhand play in the third.
There's
I'm sorry,
a
in the
strike.
Fourth yep.
You know what that's like, though. I mean, anytime leadership, something as small as just stepping out and throwing that rhythm off, as you know, as there's an inside pitch of cold strength, that one might have been a little bit inside.
He's starting to pepper that inside corner right now, and I'd be shocked if he didn't go right back in there again.
And off-speed pitch on the outside will be taken for a ball. 2 balls, 2 strikes.
Wardwell's pulled both balls today down the third baseline, so... Bennett may think to stay away here. See if we can try to get the
ball. And
it's
going to come plate. We're at another off-speed pitch. Wardwell doing a good job staying alive. 2-2. LaSalle leading 6-5 here in the fifth inning. Nobody on and 2 outs. I can't tell you the last time I remember, if any, the Lancers went down in order. Can you?
They haven't all day. They have not gone down 1-2-3 all day. They scored 2.
Bennett, and there was a swing and a miss.
He tipped it.
And he tipped it, unable to catch the ball for the third out.
Well, LaSalle left 2 runners on base in the first and then scored 2 in the second, 2 in the third, 2 in the fourth. And here in the fifth, they led off with 2 strikeout lookings.
Bennett coming plateward, and there's a pop-up, and it'll go over our vantage point and into the woods behind us. And it looks like perhaps Wardwell at the plate now, and Aaron Moreland on deck. Bennett's looking plateward, two balls and two strikes. He brings it, another off-speed pitch, strike three on the outside corner. Wardwell didn't like it, and that is the inning. Nice job by Nick Bennett and the Moeller Crusaders as they shut the Lancers down for the first time in order. As we move to the top of the sixth, it's still a South 6 and the Moeller Crusaders 5.
Ready.
And it looks as if Jacob Kaiser is going to go back out there again. So I'm somewhat surprised that Jacob Kaiser is heading back out there.
They had a pitcher ready to go. And he's probably only thrown about 70, 75 pitches. The last inning was a long one, but other than that, he hadn't thrown too many pitches. But I bet he threw 30 pitches that last inning, if not more.
What's the typical pitch count, Andy, when you're talking high school baseball? Of course, you know, and baseball and major league level, you know, 100 is typically the golden pitch. But certainly at this level, is it 100? I mean, where do you go and where do you draw that line?
I always lived around the 90 mark. I did go up to 100 on a couple of different occasions, but it's right around 90. Mainly because in Cincinnati, with the weather being as bad as it is in February, you just don't get to throw as many pitches as you would like to get warmed up for the season. So you kind of use the season to get your arm strength. Well, in about another week, I'm sure he'll have no trouble going to 100. But right now, he's still working his way up to where you need him for the tournament.
That's an interesting point to make. You talk about the Cincinnati Reds pitcher going all the way early in the season, chasing that no-hitter, going up to, 110 pitches? And I know there was a lot of controversy around that play. Was that a smart move to do that? As Kaiser's pitch, rocket foul down the right field line, will even up the count. One ball and one strike to number 34, the Moeller Crusaders, the pinch hitter, and the likes of Kevin Brenning, the 6'5", 200-pound senior, and he smokes it into right field, a leadoff hit here in the sixth inning for the Crusaders. So Brenning into the game. He's batting, I believe, for Mullinger.
He's single for Mullinger. Hughes is batting now. And they're putting a pinch runner in now.
So he will come in. 18. That was a pretty swing, too, by the young man. Apparently, he's not fleet of foot. And that'll be the day for Jacob Kaiser. Not a bad game for Kaiser. I know he's not happy about it, but Jacob Kaiser giving up only 5 runs to a very powerful Moeller offensive lineup. And Quentin Baldwin, as we spoke, will come in for the Lancers. This call to the bullpen brought to you in part by La Rosa's. La Rosa's the place to go with our good friend Mike La Rosa, class of 1974. For Pete's and La Rosa's, call 347-1111. And I know, Andy Poley, looking at you, you've had a few slices of pizza.
Too many. Did you ever work at La Rosa's? Did you ever work at La Rosa's?
No, I haven't.
You might be the lone Cincinnati and not to at least work at some point at La Rosa's.
Mike said that they started background checks, and that pretty much alleviated any opportunity for me to work at La Rosa's.
I worked for Mike at the Boudinot La Rosa's when I was in high school.
What kind of boss was he?
He was a nice guy. He was very strict, though. I was in high school. So, needless to say, I wasn't the brightest bulb in the pack.
He's got some great stories,
oh,
too.
Yeah. Yes, he does. And his old man, Buddy. What a great Cincinnati legend he is.
Absolutely. Hall of Famer. Mark La Rosa also.
Whole family.
Yeah. And whole family. Just an incredible group of people. And they wear LaSalle proudly on their jersey. And they've done a tremendous amount of stuff specifically for us here at WLSN. If you're listening to the broadcast right now, you can give us a tweet at @Barrett_Cohen. @Barrett_Cohen, and let us know where you're listening to the broadcast from on the World Wide Web, perhaps on the LaSalle app. Do we have it on the app? Is it on the app? Beautiful. Baldwin doing a couple of warm-ups here, is finishing up his warm-ups as we get started here. So we are in the sixth inning. Your score, LaSalle 6 and Moeller 5, as Quentin Baldwin will take the mound. And he will have a runner on first base and now be facing the bottom of the lineup, Hunter Hughes, the third baseman.
We're visited now by Jerome Stewart and Freddie Brayling, two of the greatest Astros of all time. Two fantastic baseball players in their own right.
The Astros.
Yes.
Did you start that program?
Negative.
There's a bunt attempt, and they're going to throw it to first, trying to throw it behind the runner, who was late getting back to the bag, and he's able to do so, but a bang-bang play benefits the Molar Crusaders, and Hunter Hughes will be down a strike after that failed bunt attempt.
Now, the younger Astros, yes, but the older Astros, no. I was a player on the older Astros.
A plate where it's Quentin Baldwin, and there's a ball that will be foul right over the plate. John Hamburg came up with it quickly, barehanded it, but in the opinion of the umpire, behind the plate, and that'll be a foul ball. And quickly, Hunter Hughes in the hole. No balls and two strikes to Quentin Baldwin.
I think he's going to have him bunt again.
Hughes 1-for-2 on the day so far with a strikeout, and that'll be his second strikeout, as he will head to the dugout, bat in tow, and that's a big strikeout for Quentin Baldwin. After Moeller opened up that inning there with a rocket into right field, and now with one on and one out, that'll bring the top of the order in the likes of number 14, the shortstop, Alec Graves, 0-for-3 on the day, and he has a strikeout on his resume as well.
He's had a rough day at the plate. Struck out in the first, grounded the shortstop in the third, and in the fourth, he ended the inning with a 6-4-3 double play.
Baldwin over to Griffin Merritt, keeping that runner honest over there at first base. Great time of year for a high school student athlete, especially a senior coming to the end of his high school career. There's a ground ball right back to Baldwin. Over to shortstop and throws it into center field. And here comes the runner to third.
Wow,
here comes the throw, and he is out. How about the throw from the center fielder of the Lancers, who threw an absolute bullet, Andrew Sexton, to Kevin Brown to cut the runner down to third. And that is a big second out right there for the Lancers, as Baldwin threw the ball right into center field. That's a tough play for a pitcher.
Well, you got to lead the shortstop who's covering the base. And he led him a little bit too far as Tyler Wardwell could not go into the runner. He was sliding at the time. And Sexton wisely was backing up the play in center field. Came in and picked it off one hop and threw a laser, an absolute laser to third base. And shut him down easily.
I'll tell you, there's a lot of scouts who have looked over Andrew Sexton's resume. Of course, son of Chris Sexton, who played for the Cincinnati Reds, Colorado Rockies. But the one knock on him has been his arm. Well, he didn't show any ill effects of an arm on that one, as you're right, that was an absolute rocket, an incredible throw, and that's the only way you get him out of third base with a perfect throw.
He didn't break stride going to the second base either. He just kept going. So I didn't think they had a shot at first, but he threw made a great throw to third base.
Baldwin coming to the plate, and there's a shot down the right field line, and that will score a run. And coming around and scoring easily for the Molar Crusaders is number 14. And the likes of Alec Graves to second goes Tyler McDonough, and we are tied at 6.
How big was that play now, Barrett? By throwing him out of third base, instead of being down a run, they're just LaSalle's tied. So that's an even bigger play. Sebastian Babik, he's 2-for-2 for today with the base on balls. So they have not got him out today. He takes a pitch on the outside corner, strike one. Baldwin works ahead in the count. No balls and one strike with the go-ahead run on second base. And McDonough. Verbeek in the box and the pitch. Off speed, taken outside. One ball and one strike.
You ever tried putting sunglasses on with a headset on? Not good.
I'm a little smarter than that there, Doctor.
Not much. So Sebastian Fetick will be at the plate looking for a go-ahead single here. You can bet your bottom dollars on the crack of the bat with 2 outs. He will be off and running, he being Tyler McDonough at second base, as Fabick will spit on his gloves, rub his hands together, call timeout as he puts one foot in the box, will tap the plate. Quentin Baldwin looking plateward for the Lancers. Back to second, and he's going to bring it. There's a pop fly out of play.
That was a nice piece of hitting. That was a nice pitch. Off speed away, and he just flicked a foul. Give himself new life.
One ball, two strikes on a capacity crowd. Standing room only here at Lancer Field. on Andy Pulley bobblehead night.
Come get one, come get many. They're valuable.
Yes, they are.
They'll be on eBay in about a week.
Baldwin bringing it. And there's a pitch outside. That'll even up to count. Two balls and two strikes. Pretty impressed with Quentin Baldwin.
He has a similar delivery to Casey. Comes down about 2 o'clock, drops down just a little bit. But he doesn't have the velocity, I don't think.
Well, I can remember growing up that if you threw like that, you were in the doghouse. They didn't really encourage that, at least when I was playing. You came down three quarters, you're going to hurt your elbow, young man. You're going to hurt your shoulder. And
actually, that's the exact opposite of what actually it is. Actually, it's easier on your arm.
A lot of guys are going to that right now, yeah.
Yep.
Baldwin looking back to second. He's bringing it, and there's a ground ball. Let's see if we can pick up on the third out right here. There's a ball low in the dirt. Nice scoop by the first baseman. That's the inning. But a run is scored, and we got a whole new ball game as we head to the bottom of the sixth. Your score, it's LaSalle 6, the Moeller Crusaders 6. You're listening to Lancer Baseball on WLSN and the LaSalle Broadcasting Network here from Lancer Field. And a beautiful night for baseball as the fans have kind of come around, sat up top on the hillside there, some with blankets, some choosing to sit up in the blue seats, the box seats. Lots of alumni here to watch this game. See the Herberts here in the house. The Kaisers, of course, here in the house. Luke Kern. Bunch of guys coming back to watch this titanic struggle. That is the LaSalle Lancers and the Moeller Crusaders in a good old good one as we're tied at 6 in the bottom of the 6. Once again, if you're on or listening to the broadcast, light us up on Twitter at WLSN Radio or you can listen or light me up at Barrett_Cohen. Baron Moreland will now try to start this inning off for the Lancers and a little bit better than they did last inning as LaSalle has retired for the first time in order back in the fifth inning. Beautiful night for baseball. Can't say that enough. These are the days you live for these big games. These young men live all season long, all year long. Nate Sexton in the house. You know it's a big game when Sexton's here. And there's a foul ball, and Moreland just missed that one as he fouled that straight back.
Yeah, Barron's trying to break the streak of Nick Bennett. Three consecutive strikeout lookings. So we went up hacking at the first pitch.
And there's an off-speed pitch, a curveball that comes right over the plate, and Bennett's dealing right now. He has found his mojo.
Yes, he has.
And Bennett coming, and that'll be pitch high up in the eyes.
Yeah, Barron Hunch is 2-for-2. Singled up the middle in the second, and then singled an infield single later in the game.
Bennett from the full windup, and he's coming plateward in an off-speed pitch. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. One out here in the sixth inning for LaSalle.
And he has found his mojo, Doctor.
So that'll bring to the plate Tim Casey. Lancers will then turn the lineup over to Andrew Sexton at the top. Bennett coming plateward, and there's a little flare, and will that make it into left field? It does. Lancers have Tim Casey on, and now we'll flip the lineup over in the likes of Andrew Sexton now. Let's see what they have. And that seems to be when Nick Bennett struggles the most is when LaSalle gets guys on base. He gets out of the, he goes from the stretch, and you can tell he's just a little bit more uncomfortable.
Different ball game. Second, third, and fourth, LaSalle scored. And then they take the leadoff hitter out and proceeded to do the same to the next two. So
Bennett coming plateward, off-speed pitch, curveball in the dirt, a ball. Interesting to see what they do, what Sexton batting from the left hand of the side of the box. Bennett, a left-hander. And Tim Casey, a guy with some speed at first base. Of course, as you mentioned, Sexton with most speed on this team. And Bennett comes plateward, and there's a shot into the bleachers, and they're scrambling over there in the blue seats down the left field line. Souvenir for you don't get to keep those in high school, though.
Negative.
Those things are expensive.
About $7 a ball. That can cut into the baseball budget real quick.
My son caught that. He'd look like a felony suspect out of Lockwood. One ball, one strike. The pitch and waves at the pitch as Sexton was thinking fastball. He got the breaking ball, and he finds himself down one ball and two strikes.
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised that they didn't put a bunt down in this situation. With the left-hander facing the left-hander, it's tough on Sexton here.
And there's a ground ball. And will that be in the hole? That won't make it. That went into no man's land. And, second baseman Tyler McDonough went to his left, and the first baseman Christian Bolt went to his right. And they will knock it down, but it's first and second and one outs.
Nick Bennett did not cover first base.
I'm not sure they get him out even if he is.
That's close.
With Sexton, and that'll bring Brady Reynolds to the plate. Brady Reynolds, a guy that he's got on base, but he really hasn't hit the ball hard yet. But he has reached base for the Lancers. And Bennett will come plate where there's another one. A little chopper down the third baseline. Nobody covering third, and all hands are safe. I mean, it hasn't been sexy what he's done, but he's gotten the job done in Reynolds, and now he is 1-for-4. He scored a run.
He had a single like that in the first inning.
They ruled that an error, according to the official scores that we have here.
How can you have an error when you know you're going to make a throw?
So now that... Thank you. So Mark had two hits on the day, and now Micah Allen has the ducks in the pond. Moeller will bring their infield in. One out. Bennett dancing with the devil now as LaSalle has a chance to break this one open again, and there's a pop fly. That'll be out of play. And it's amazing to me. I mean, how many balls do they lose in those woods?
I can't believe they didn't put a bigger net. I mean, they have a high net here, but you need another 40 feet up there to keep these balls in here. It'd pay for itself in 5 years, but my goodness, they lose a ton of balls back there.
Mike Allen, down a strike, and there's a ground ball right to the third baseman. He loses control of the ball. He's going to have to make a long throw to first. All hands are safe. And a run will score, and LaSalle takes a 7-6 lead. That was a routine ground ball to Hunter Hughes at third base, but it flat out popped out of his glove and went into foul territory. And hustling down to third base was Brady Reynolds. So his only option was the first base and beating out the throw.
Barrett, that was a terror.
Mike Allen, and it's now 7-6 Lancers.
That was a 5-2-3 double play waiting to happen. It was a one-hopper hit right to the third baseman. That was an easy double play, as easy as you're going to get, and just popped out of the young man's glove.
Well, if you're scoring at home or home alone, that's air number 5 for the Moeller Crusaders in this game.
And that is not like a Moeller team of the past.
That will keep Tim Held up at night.
Oh, yes.
5 airs for the Moeller Crusaders, who come into this game 11-5, 1-2 in the GCL South. As we mentioned earlier, a loss in this, and they are all but out. Well, they will be out of the GCL South conference. As you mentioned earlier, if you're just tuning in the broadcast, only the first 2 games in the conference of the 3 count for league play. So LaSalle with a win would go to 3-1. What with 2 wins over the Moeller Crusaders, and they still have 2 games left.
Yeah, if they can't pull this one out, they're in trouble.
That pitch was well below the knees. No argument from Kevin Brown, though, as it's a 2-ball, 1-count, 1-strike count. Bases are juiced. Lancers leading 7-6, 1-out. Kevin Brown. Brownie with an opportunity here to blow it open. Bennett coming plateward, and there's a ground ball, and that will be into center field, a base hit. One runner will score. Here comes another runner to the plate. Here comes the throw, and he's out. And Reynolds out at the plate, and a nice job right there of the catcher for the Moeller Crusaders. He was blocking the plate. In fact, the coaches, Coach Vogley, going to come in and argue just that. I mean, he was a good 2 feet from home plate, and Coach Vogley is not happy about that call at all.
Well, he's got a right to be upset on this call because
he was almost out of the grass.
Exactly. And if you saw where Brady Reynolds slid, he slid way off the plate. The closest point between 2 lines and 2 points is a straight line, Barrett, and he didn't get to take the straight line.
So the Lancers will get 1 run to score on that. I mean, he got away with it. I mean, give him credit, albeit what a questionable call, but Patrick Mollinger was out down the third. Good 2 feet down the third baseline, but it's only illegal if you get caught, right?
Well, they say if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
That's the GCL South motto. 8-6, a bunch of GMC people are loving that comment. 8-6, and that pitch, an off-speed pitch, a strike to Griffin Merritt. So runners on first and second now, This inning still could be a big inning for the Lancers if Griffin Merrick can connect with another big one. He's been an opportunistic batter for this Lancer baseball team, and he was thinking fastball on that one, and he got the breaking ball. No balls, two strikes.
I'll be shocked if he gets another fastball. Last time he got behind in the count, 0-2, he shot a line drive down the right field line. He's not going to make that mistake again, I guarantee it.
There's a fastball, and he shoots that one into the woods, and there's another $7 out the window.
There goes our pay today, Doctor.
Double barrel activity for the Lancers down to the bullpen, and I can't see.
Both left-handers.
So like number 17 for the Lancers. If you're scoring at home, that's Jake Hughes. And I can't tell who the other one is. That might be A.J. Ratterman. As a ground ball, Merritt will stay alive. Our bullpen monitor is down at the moment.
This high-budget production.
It's Alex Hartmeyer. I mean, he can't do everything. He can only get us on the air. And then, of course, we got Alex Veer here taking photos. Has he had a photo of you yet?
He's a smart man. He's turning that camera in the other direction. He's got a very expensive lens on there. Can't afford to crack it.
That was shot right at us. Oh.
You notice I didn't flinch? Because you can't do any more damage to this mug. God did his work, and he stopped right there.
The ball's two strikes. Lancers with a two-run lead. Griffin Merritt trying to get us more. As the pitch is taken outside a ball, runners will advance on the steal. Double steal. No, just one.
Yeah, he went
on
his own.
I thought he was a double steal, but he did not. Who is that on third? I can't tell from here. That's number 12 over at third base, Ben Brabender.
He's running for Brown, looks like. No, I'm sorry. He's running for Mike Allen.
So Ben Brabender at third now, Allen at first base, Griffin Merritt at the plate, down one ball, two strikes, Lancers with an 8-6 lead. Bennett looks over at the runner at first. Now he's going to throw over to first. That's the kind of stuff, though, I mean, you just take for granted, I think, at times. But the little things in baseball that I think are overlooked by guys that, frankly, maybe don't like this sport, just the little things like that, keeping that runner close. Ground ball right back to Bennett, and he will tag Griffin Merritt going down the first, and that will end the inning. But LaSalle does damage, scoring two runs in the top of the sixth, bottom of the sixth. And now we will go to the top of the seventh. Can Moeller come back in plate two, or will the Lancers get another big win against this Moeller Crusader baseball team? Andy, this is all it's all about. Quinton Baldwin will head back out to the mound for the Lancers.
Well, he's got the middle lineup coming up for the Lancers. They got
for the Crusaders.
I'm sorry, for the Crusaders, Bianchini, Butts, and Bolt, and all three have had success today. Bianchini's one for he's one for one with two walks thrown in there. Butts is one for three with a single, knocked in two runs, and Bolt, we know what he did. He doubled in the second, struck out in the third, then hit a three-run homer in the fifth over the scoreboard in left field, so which put Moeller back in the game. They were down at the time, 6-2, and that three-run homer brought them within 6-5, and they later tied at 6-6, and LaSalle scored two runs in the bottom of the sixth to take the score to 8-6, and that's where we sit right now.
How big would this win be for the Lancers tonight? Of course, beating them in five. First time they played over there in Sycamore Township. This would be a big, big win for the Lancers if they can get three more outs and take the first two games against a very talented Moeller baseball team. No doubt about it.
Well, he's got the meat coming up like we talked about, Bianchini, Butts, and Bolt. So if he can get through this without any runs, he's doing a heck of a job.
And his next pitch is taken in the dirt, a ball. Still double barrel action down in that Lancer bullpen. And it'll be interesting to see how quick Coach McConnell pulls the trigger is. Hambrick will head to the mound to discuss this.
Well, he's got two left-handers up, and that kind of surprises me because you got a right-hander on deck and Butts, and Bolt's a right-handed hitter. So the next two hitters that he's facing, and if Bianchini gets on, the next batter will be the tying run. So there you go.
Strike, two balls and one strike. This is what it's all about, Drew. I mean, this is what it's. This is what people pay their big money to come watch this game. As LaSalle will now dig themselves a hole, specifically Baldwin, three balls and one strike. As Baldwin will come to from the stretch with nobody on, come plateward, and that's ball four. And Biaccini is on base, and that'll bring up center fielder Kyle Butts, a guy that certainly by stature is not would you would think be big at the plate, but he's got a big bat. What with a 2-for-3, check that, with a 1-for-3 coming into this game, two RBIs, and there will be a pinch hitter as Biaccini will come off the field.
Nolan Baker is running for him.
Baker will check in and run for him, and now the Moeller Crusaders down to their final three outs, but with some activity brewing here in the top of the seventh.
It's interesting. Biaccini's out of the game. That's the second time he's been pinch ran for, so he cannot re-enter again, so... Moeller, good thing they have an 80-man roster. If they can fill anybody in. As you can look over at the dugout over there, Barrett, they're all looks like they're squeezed in there like sardines.
Is there a limit? I don't even – I know in football there is.
There is for the state tournament. It's used to be, I believe, 22.
So when they get to the state tournament, they got to make the traveling team?
There's going to be – all these people are not going to the tournament, I can tell you that.
So Baldwin will now work from the stretch as he was with nobody on and – really having problems finding any bit of a rhythm right now as he's been falling behind batters, and we saw what happened when they did that to the Moeller Crusaders earlier. So Butts, one ball, no strikes, and he will hit a fly ball into right field, should be caught, and will be. That'll be out number one. Runner will not advance, and now Moeller's down to their final two outs is Christian Bolt, who hit a three-run bomb earlier in this game, and that was a big out because if you get him coming up again, they could take a lead with a three-run Johnson, but right now, at worst, it's a tie ball game, so Bolt will come to the plate, the first baseman for the Moeller Crusaders, on the day 2-for-3.
I just looked at the roster for Moeller, and they have 28 players on the roster. That's four more than the Cincinnati Reds.
And they're all in that little dugout.
And that tiny little dugout. Got a couple coaches, a couple team managers, and they're packed in there like sardines. Now comes Coach Vogley.
Coach Vogley will come out to the mound. Interesting not to see Sam McConnell out there. So Coach Vogley will come out to the mound. He turns his back, and you got to wonder if he's given a few choice words, talking more than about what he's doing in summer vacation. This is a big spot right here for this Lancer baseball team.
Baldwin's got to be a little worried. He's facing a guy who's put one off the fence on a bounce, his first at-bat, and then took one out his other at-bat. So,
well, I'd live. There's nobody on. I like the old play, chin music.
Well, you
get
know,
him off the plate a little bit. Can't do that in this situation. But
the old adage is you don't let the best hitter on the team beat you. And today, at least, Christian Bolt's their best hitter.
Bolt will tap the plate. Baldwin will bring it to the plate, and there's a rocket down to the third baseman. He scoops it up, throws it to second, the throw to first, safe. Pulled him off the base, and how about the scoop from Kevin Brown? That was an absolute rocket to Brown, who short-hopped the ball, fired it over to second base, and Casey with a nice turn to first. And they were unable to get the double play, but an incredible job defensively, and Moeller will substitute. What with Christian Bolt being lack of, what do you call it, fleet of foot?
He's built like you and I, Doctor.
There you go.
He's not built for speed.
And coming in,
he can flat out rip, though, can he?
And they'll bring one of their 80 in, number 12, Jack Gallagher, the 6'1" junior, will come in to take his spot at first base, and now Moeller down to their final out. Can Baldwin shut the door? The pitch, curveball off speed outside.
Bueller's 0-for-3 on the day.
Alec DeBueller, a fielder for this Moeller Crusader baseball team. He'll tap on his left pant leg. Baldwin coming to the stretch and will bring it plateward. And there's a ball inside, and it's two balls and no strikes. I got to think right now, if you're Coach Vogley or Sam McConnell, you just want to let him hit and make contact.
Well, he's batting .250 for the season, but he has no home runs.
Baldwin comes plateward, and there's another rocket down to Brown. He picks it up, will fumble it, fire it to first, and this one belongs to the Lancers. LaSalle with two runs in the bottom of the sixth inning, and that will do it as LaSalle defeats The Molar Crusaders 8-6 here at Lancer Field. A big win for the Lancers. And they now will go to 3-1 in the GCL South. Molar now to 1-3. Andy, who's your most valuable player for the Lancers?
Oh, I got to go with Griffin Merritt. He had that big hit down the right field line. Knocked in two runs after Molar had just come back to tie the game. He jumped back up and got that big hit down the right field line. Knocked in two runs. Tyler Wardwell had a great game in the field. He didn't produce much at the plate today, but he had a couple really nice plays in the field at shortstop. But I gotta go with Griffin Merritt. That double we hit, knocked in two runs. That was with two outs on an 0-2 pitch. That was huge.
That was big. Griffin Merritt, our La Rosa's Pizza player of the game with that double in the third inning. We'll talk to Griffin Merritt about the big win as well as Coach Vogley here momentarily. And listen, that's a big win. Molar, for all intents and purposes, is now at 1-3 out of the chance to win the GCL South. What happens here for the South? 3-1?
Well, they got the Panthers later, and they got the Bombers. So they are in the catbird seat, so to speak, going into the last 2 weeks of the season. So if they can win at least one of those games, if they beat Elder next week, they will be the outright champions of the GCL this year because they've already beaten Elder once. So they are in the catbird seat going into the last 2 weeks of the season. And I don't remember, Barrett, the last time that Molar lost two times to the same GCL team in the same season. LaSalle's beaten them the last few years at least once. I know Elder's beaten them at least once in the last couple of years, but never twice. Neither one of them can beat them twice. And Griffin's coming to. Hey, Griffin.
Hey, we got Griffin Merritt now on the radio, and it's a great night to be a Lancer fan as LaSalle beats the Molar Crusaders to the tune of 8-6. And Griffin Merritt is our La Rosa's Pizzeria player of the game. Again, we just spoke about it. His big two strike. Was it a two out, Drew? Or was
two
that
out, two run
two,
double?
Two out, two. I think it was one out. One out, two run double. Had two strikes on him, shot it down the right field line. Griffin, how good did that feel coming off the bat?
Oh, it feels great, especially against a good pitcher in Bennett. Really, what set that up though was Kevin Brown laying down a big bunt to move it to second and third, and then just going with two strikes, going with the pitch on the outside corner and taking it to right field. Felt great.
Hey, talk about how much confidence this baseball team's playing with right now. You guys really just seem to be clicking on all cylinders. Now, what do you attribute that to?
I got to give it to our coaching. We're playing extremely hard. We have a lot of confidence, and we're playing like four every day. We're getting out there and we're getting after it. We're putting pressure on teams and executing.
I talk about, this. You got Molar twice. I think Andy just mentioned about it. It's been a long time since the Molar Crusaders have lost in one season, specifically to LaSalle, 2-0. But, Andy, I was going to ask you. I'll ask Griffin instead. There seems to be something to say about, you know, the Cincinnati Reds always struggle with a team like the St. Louis Cardinals. Here, it's LaSalle. Really seems to really have Molar's number. Talk about that and how you guys really seem to play very well against this Molar baseball team.
They're a good program. They have a lot of pedigree, but we know we can play with anybody, and we come out here and we play hard, and we just let our bats do the talking. Got good defense. They had great pitching from Jake Kaiser again. Quentin Baldwin shutting it down, but we just come out here with confidence and finish games.
Big win for the Lancers, 8-6, and certainly you guys now will turn your attention to the Molar Crusaders. Drew, you got a question
for
him too, I believe.
Griffin, I've known Griffin since he was a baby. His mother grew up next door to me, and his grandpa, Timmy Wiebe. And Griffin's hitting my backyard in the cage in the backyard. So I'm going to take some of that credit on that. But I got a question for Griffin. Now, when you hit that two-strike double down the right field line, Bennett had thrown you earlier in that bat a slider, a slide piece, and you hacked at it and you missed it. Were you sitting breaking ball?
Yeah, you know, he started me. He threw me a lot of off-speed today. He started me off with a curveball that at that first strike. I took all the way on that first pitch curveball. Then it was either a changeup or maybe a little slider. He threw me down and in. I kind of swung through. It was a good pitch. Had a lot of drop to it. So I was 0-2, kind of expecting a little bit of off-speed again because he had just made a pretty good pitch on me. But he decided to go fastball away, and I just went with it.
Yeah, I was shocked. I was shocked that he went with that because I thought – he needed to strike on that situation because he had two runners in scoring position because you guys had just bunted two runners over. He needed to strike out there, and he went with a fastball away. And to your credit, you didn't try to pull. You didn't try to do too much with it. You just shot it down the right field line and cleared the bases. And that's why when Barrett, we were talking about player of the game, that's a huge hit. You do things like that to a pitcher of that quality, you could just see their whole shoulders and their dugout just drop.
You know, there's certain guys, too, in whatever sport it is. You seem to be a guy that really really comes – you get in those situations. Some guys excel in those situations. Certainly some guys don't really prefer to have those. You seem to like those situations where you're maybe behind in the count, maybe your team's down. But is that something you really kind of enjoy?
I love getting in those big situations. It's a big game. I'm out here playing against the guy that's – almost 3 years older than me, one of the best pitchers in the state, and I just like coming through for our team. I thrive on those spots. I like those spots.
So we're still, semi-early, maybe mid-season right now. What kind of confidence does this give not just you but your entire team? You just mentioned Nick Bennett, one of the top pitchers, not just in Cincinnati, maybe not even the state but the region on his way to the University of Louisville. What kind of confidence does that give you going deep into the season and the playoffs?
It just shows us that we can hit anybody. I mean, guys are throwing 90-plus. It's the same swing, same everything. Just get up there, see the ball, hit it. That's all it is.
Thanks a lot, Griffin. Great job. You are the La Rosa's Pizzeria Player of the Game. We want to thank Griffin Merritt for joining us. And we want to thank Griffin. And now we're going to bring Coach Vogley on and talk about the big victory. Again, Lancers win 8-6. It's a great day to be a Lancer fan as LaSalle now 3-1 in the GCL South. For all intents and purposes, Moeller is done in conference play. Of course, they don't play for conference titles. They play for state titles. But, Coach Vogley, you got to be pretty impressed with your ball club. Beating a very talented Moeller team twice now, 8-6 here. And first and foremost, Jake Kaiser didn't have his easy going this time, but just shows what kind of guy he is. You face that lineup twice in, 4 weeks, and you got two big wins. That's impressive.
Well, it was a good win. It was a good team win, let's put it that way. But I don't think they're finished. They're too good a team to even with three losses to be finished.
Always downplaying. You're always down, which is good.
They're a good ball club. You saw it today. They kept on coming at us, and we responded. And that's the thing that we have to do. We have to keep on. We have to show up every day, play hard. And I talked to you about this morning. And respond when the other team scores. We had to come back and go right back at them. So
I noticed
that was the key today.
I noticed
our guys play hard, and they, when they play well. That's the key. They play hard. So.
I know you're an old school baseball guy. I know Andy is as well. I am as well. I noticed something you said before this game even started. The guys took a good infield. You really pumped them up in the locker room. For me, being an old school guy, that's when it starts in infield practice and really sets the tone for how this team's going to play or a team's going to play throughout. Do you agree with that?
Well, I agree. They've got the best infield coach in the city, John Bellamy, and throughout the preseason, they work on fielding the ball properly, and they're really a solid group. They actually played as well Saturday against Springboro. I mean, they just looked really solid. I mean, they just played good baseball and made an out and out, and that's what we work for. So,
Coach, I got a question for you. When they got the base runner in the last inning and you saw Christian Bolt come up and he had doubled earlier off the fence and hit one out, you went out and talked to your pitcher. What was your thinking at that point?
I was just challenging him.
Okay.
Okay. This is the first time he's been in a situation like this.
And he stepped up. He did a great job.
Yes,
he did.
I said this is a time for you to decide what kind of pitcher you're going to be, and he was smart enough to throw ground balls to.
He made a heck of a play down there, didn't he?
Brown's really solid.
Because if that ball goes by him, that's going to the wall, and that's probably
exactly
tying the game.
Yeah.
And he almost turned a double play out of it. He made two great plays.
He did that Saturday, too. So he's done it all year. And I think he struggled the first couple games, and he wasn't real confident. But he's really kicked it in gear, and he's a pretty important guy to our ball club.
From our perspective, Barrett, those balls were lasers. And,
yep.
Coach, you had the same perspective we did. When it left the bat, I thought for sure it was a double, but it almost turned into a double play. But you expect that from seniors? And expect the other guys to feed off that, especially heading late into the season with the tournament coming up in about 2 or 3 weeks. This is when it's time for the seniors to step up and take that leadership role for the younger guys.
Well, tournament baseball is pitching and defense, and
And that's what won today at the end.
Today.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why you won today.
We walked
exactly.
a few too many guys, and especially when they tied it up, we walked two guys and three-run homer.
How impressed were you that it took Bennett till the fifth inning to strike anybody out? Did you take note of that in the dugout, that you guys are putting really good swings on the ball in the first four innings?
I think our approach has been real solid with him. You know, we make him throw strikes to us.
Yeah. And nobody overswings. You're not trying to hit home runs. You're hitting line drives.
Right. We've worked real hard at that, and these guys have done a pretty good job of accepting it and working at it and applying it. Let's put it that way. So
I like watching Jacob Kaiser. I mean, obviously, he's a very quiet guy, humble guy in the school, in the classroom. But I'll tell you what, he's a fierce competitor. Because seeing him coming off dejected, you just tell him he's got a little fire in his belly, doesn't he?
You know, he's a winner. So.
Yeah, when he struggled in the fourth
or fifth.
He
didn't get the win today, though, right?
No, he came out when it was tied. But when you went out and talked to him.
8-0, 2 years.
He's never lost.
No, 9-0 now. So, yeah.
But you could tell when you were talking about him, he didn't want to come out.
No,
he didn't.
And I don't think you went to get him. You just went to give him a little pep talk because he's a bulldog out there. He's going to be your guy, I think, as the season goes on.
He missed a few too many spots today, though. He wasn't as good as he has been.
No, he hasn't. But he battled through it against a good ball team.
Yeah, that's the key. Well, we got the W, so that's important.
All right, so Coach, you had a big win against Moeller the first time, and then some of the guys came out, and let's just say you fumbled the ball against St. X. So what do you tell these guys coming in to a big week when they have an opportunity to really grasp that GCL title? How do you do that? I mean, how do you get into these guys' heads, say, guys, this game's over, it doesn't mean anything, and get prepared for those next two games?
No, I think they see Moeller on their chest, and they'll be ready to play. So.
Coach V, thank you so much for the broadcast. A big win. It's a great night to be a Lancer fan. I want to thank Coach Vogley on the Roses Pizza post-game show. I want to thank Coach Vogley for his presence on the broadcast tonight. LaSalle wins 8-6 over the Moeller Crusaders. They go to 3-1 inside the GCL South, and they are playing some excellent baseball right now as they will advance to 10-3 on the season. So I want to thank everybody for joining us on the broadcast tonight. Alex Harmeyer and Mike Pedro working to get us on the air, albeit a little bit late, but we got on the air to do the most important part, and that's call a Lancer win. We want to thank everybody on the broadcast team for helping put tonight's broadcast on. For color analyst Andy Foley, LaSalle class of 86.
In your
also,
dreams, baby.
Alex Harmeyer, our production assistant on-site producer. Of course, Mike Nye, our off-site production assistant. And yours truly, Barrett Cohen. Your final score here from Lancer Field in a game that took 1 hour and 56 minutes to play in front of a crowd of 1,253 people, LaSalle 8, the Moeller Crusaders 6. You've been listening to Lancer Baseball on WLSN and the LaSalle Broadcasting Network. It's a great day to be a Lancer fan.